Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Desire is that men come to him personally. And so the old priesthood, it just wouldn't do because it could never accomplish that. It was set up never to accomplish that. There was never a law, after you've gone 50 times to the priest, you come straight to me. You come straight into the Holy of Holies. There was never that provision. You always came through someone else. Even if the priesthood executed their roles perfectly, people were still reduced to going through men, sinful men, in order to worship God.
Have you ever had a falling out with someone? While the wound is fresh, it can be hard to have a conversation with them. In these situations, it's often helpful to have a friend act as a mediator. In a similar way, the priests of the Old Covenant served this purpose between the Israelites and God. As Pastor Troy explains in today's message, God wanted intimacy, but their sin was too great. That is why he sent Christ, the perfect mediator, who not only mediates for us, but brings us into the intimacy that God desires. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 7 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
That system just would not work. It had become hardened and no longer doing what it was intended to do, reveal that we're sinners. Now it was a set of standards. We rise up to this. We're at this standard. We're above the people. And God said, look, this system stinks. You look good to each other, but you stink to me. And you don't look good to anybody else. So the new wine will not fit into this old wineskin. This old wineskin is going to have to go. We can't take this and let it be our foundation for where we're building. We must break it apart. And there is a brand new law, brand new rule that we operate by. Today we see some of the details of that change, the new wineskins. God makes changes. He makes changes in our lives, and that changes for a purpose. Some changes he asks us to make. We're in control of it. Obedience. Through obedience, we make those changes. There are other changes we have no control over. God changes it. He breaks it. And we're forced to change. But then very often there's that compromise where he asks you to change. And you have a choice. But over time, he forces it if you don't. God's able to do all of those things. But he makes change in order to change us. Because we get stuck in our own ways. It's just a tendency we have. And getting stuck in our own ways is not the same as getting stuck in his ways. We get stuck in our own ways. It's not necessarily anyone's fault that we get stuck in our own ways. It's just part of the sinful nature. We develop habits, things we're comfortable with. We have been hurt in our past, so we overcompensate. And we make our own life changes over here to make sure that doesn't happen. And then we make another mistake on this side. And we're always trying to negotiate our own life and navigate our own life. Well, that gets us stuck in our own ways. We think we figured it out. And so no one is able to get inside once we have it solidified. And God says, I'm going to break that down because you are not useful to me anymore that way. There's no more growth. You get stuck in your pattern, and your friends are the same friends, and you only have the same friends because no one else fits in the same group. No one else fits. We get into our own little groups, we get our own little routines, and we stop growing. Again, it's not necessarily your fault, But it's that sin nature that forces us to get into places where we're comfortable ourselves. Today we see that things had to change. In fact, it's out with the old, in with the new. And today we see some of the new. Verse 11. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? So the first new we see is a new priesthood. There's a new priesthood, not an old one, not a new priest in the old priesthood, a whole new priesthood altogether. The old does not transition into the new. It is done. He says perfection could not come through the Levitical priesthood. Now, when we say perfection, it doesn't mean that we, by doing that, weren't going to be perfect. We couldn't be perfect. Nothing will make us perfect. We're sinners. We have a sin nature. And so it's not saying that we couldn't be perfect people. The law was incomplete in that sense. What it's saying is that the law and following the law could never, ever perfectly allow us to come into the presence of God. You could follow that law perfectly, and you still would not qualify to step into the presence of God. There's so many more dynamics than just all those laws to being in the presence of God. See, the Levitical priesthood was temporary. It was established with the idea that people live, they die. They're born to a certain family. And so the law was written in that accord, that there will be a new priest. And when he dies, then this can happen. And laws were written around the life of a high priest. But that needed to change because, first of all, this high priest, this new high priest, isn't going to die. But second, because it could never bring perfection. It could never bring complete fellowship with God. In fact, the system itself showed us that. You had to go through a human priest who actually would go and make atonement. You had to go through a human mediator to do something in an earthly tabernacle. But God's desire is that men come to Him personally. And so the old priesthood, it just wouldn't do because it could never accomplish that. It was set up never to accomplish that. There was never a law, after you've gone 50 times to the priest, you come straight to me. You come straight into the Holy of Holies. There was never that provision. You always came through someone else. Even if the priesthood executed their roles perfectly, people were still reduced to going through men, sinful men, in order to worship God. So there was still a distance between man and God. You do understand that the scriptures are all about God restoring. He wants to redeem so that we have access to Him because sin separates us. So we had a human mediator through that priesthood. And that was as far as we could get. And if you were a Gentile, you couldn't even really get that close. So as a result, no one could enter the true holy place, heaven. I mean, you can't even go into the earthly tabernacle, much less heaven, the tabernacle in the heavens. But now, with Jesus being our high priest, coming, sacrificing Himself once for all, we have a new high priest allowing us access, not through a priest, but directly to Him. We come straight to Him. Now we go through not a man, we go through God to get to God. We go through Jesus, the Son of God, to get to the Father. So there's a new priesthood in the order of Melchizedek, and not in the order of Aaron. The old one had to go because he didn't want the old mindset of going through the priest. The priests are better. The priests are greater. The priests are closer to God. No, he says, wipe that out. You are a holy nation, a holy priesthood. Last week we talked about Jesus as the higher high priest, but he's not just a higher high priest. This is a whole new order of priesthood that has been established. And there's only one of them. It's not a continuation. Verse 12 says, for the priesthood being changed, of necessity there's also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no man is officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." So we have a new priesthood, we have a new law. Maybe you didn't know that, but there is a higher law in order now. It's the law of life in Christ Jesus that causes us to rise above a law that just shows us we're in error, that we're in sin, that we can never measure up, we can never be perfect. There's a clear break here from the old covenant priesthood to establish a new covenant under the priesthood of Jesus. Whole new. The old law no longer governs in this new law. The old law doesn't rule, doesn't have authority over your life. It doesn't condemn you. Who does? Jesus. He does. And if we live for him, the scripture says that if you follow him, if you live the way he asks you to live, you don't need a law. If all of us understood very clearly about stopping when there's four ways, and we understood, we wouldn't need signs to say stop. We'd be considerate. We'd be courteous. If we would do what we know is right, then we wouldn't have to stop when there's no one there. But we're sinners. So we got a stop sign. You got to stop even when no one's there. You know that, right? So it's the law. We're under the law right now. But when there's no need to govern a sinful, malicious, selfish heart, there's freedom. And with Christ, there's freedom.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. Now, that freedom tells us a lot about us. We can oppress anybody, put them in shackles and, you know, bar them and put them in certain restrictions. In fact, many drug rehabilitation groups do just that. It's a phasing process. No, you can do nothing. All your time is the Lord. You're at church, you're there, you wake up, and then it's the 12-step process, you know, that is helpful, but doesn't necessarily always change hearts. It's helpful for governing, but it doesn't always change hearts, because there are some, they get out of those processes, and then they're back in the world, and they didn't really have a changed heart. God gives us freedom because he wants a changed heart, because he says, I'll change your heart. You will have a new heart. You won't need the law to govern you, because the things you do will go so far and above and beyond the law. The books wouldn't hold all the stuff you would do. No one's going to tell you to give that last $1.65 to that person because though you wanted a soda, he wanted a soda, you felt compelled to, you can get one any day. Whereas they can. You don't find that. You know, you have to have too many laws, and who could memorize all that? So the Lord says, I will lead you. I will write my law in your heart so that you live, and you won't need a law to govern you, because those who live the way I ask them to live, you don't need a law for that. You don't even want to govern it. You want to let it, you want to unleash it on the world. Well, the old law assumed a temporary high priest. It had to change because Jesus is eternal. So it wouldn't work. It wouldn't fit with Jesus. The old law assumed a Levite as high priest. Jesus was from Judah. It wouldn't work. He wouldn't qualify under that law. So if we say we got to carry the law with us, then we have somebody who has broken the law in Jesus, who's a high priest, according to an old law, and it doesn't work. So if you try to carry that old law, then we have a Messiah, a Savior, who can't save because he violates a law that exists. He has to be from Levi. So God said, nope, that one's done, gone. This is the new law. The Levites who officiated the tabernacle had no spiritual qualifications for their role. It was all biological. If you were born a Levite and healthy, then you qualified. They didn't interview you later. They didn't watch your life for 2 years and go, you know what? I see a calling to be a priest. There was none of that. You were born into it. You didn't have spiritual qualifications necessarily, although Moses gave them parameters by which they were to serve, and they followed those. But as you read Israel's history, they had a lot of corrupt priests, because priests are men and they're sinners. So they didn't have spiritual qualifications, they had biological qualifications. Jesus, on the other hand, had the spiritual qualifications. He qualified based on the promise of God to atone for sin in the garden, based upon the prophecies of who would come, he qualified. Based upon the character, morally and legally, he qualified in every single way. Only he has done that. So he qualifies. And it's a priesthood that lasts forever, not under the law of sin and death, but under the law of life in Christ. See, that law is like this. The law of sin and death says if you violate the law even once, you deserve death, judgment for your sin. You can't make up for it. There is no making up for it. We can't look at it like I stole something, so here's restitution. You can't look at it like that. Sin is more like this. You kill someone, can they ever come back? Can you ever apologize enough to bring them back? That's what sin is like. The world's supposed to be perfect. Once you puncture through perfect, it can never be perfect ever again. Even with tape, even with duct tape or Gorilla Glue, it can never be perfect again. So we have violated the law of God. It condemns us now. But the law of life in Christ Jesus offers forgiveness for those who will say, I am guilty. I have contributed to the imperfection in the world. That's kind of a nice way of saying it. I have contributed to the mess. And I need you to forgive me and to cleanse me. And he will. And so now you follow him and he pours his heart into you. And you begin to walk according to his heart. And when you do that, you don't need a law because you're loving. And sometimes people will question some of what you do. The Jews, for instance, were not to eat with Gentiles and they were not to eat certain meats. But in the new law, God called Paul specifically to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And he would actually eat some of the food that they set before him. And the Jews would have thought, that's not righteous. That doesn't look good. That goes against everything God's always said. But it didn't. See, they were operating under the old law. But there was a new one, which included everyone. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So Jesus had the qualifications. I know this is kind of technical, but for me, technical is actually helpful. The author knows that he's writing to Hebrews, who would have some technical questions, because he's calling them to let go of the old priesthood, the old covenant, the old laws, and to embrace Christ. And it would be hard to do when that's all you've ever known. Not only you, but generations of your family. That's all you did. That's all you know. What do you mean? Shouldn't the Messiah, our Messiah, he shouldn't wreck everything. He should fit in, right? But everything changed. And so they're being told, let go of the old. Don't hold on. Don't try to embrace both. It won't work. Let go. You have to let go of the old, or you will not be able to move forward. You'll not be able to progress. And the same is true in our walks. If you try to hold on to your life and follow Christ, it's not going to work. It will not work. It'll be too painful. It'll be too difficult. The challenges will be so immense because you're trying to hold on to two things. It's very, very difficult for me if I know my boss is asking me to do certain things that are not right. If my ambition is, I want a raise, I want position, and so my boss is the source, it's very difficult for me to not lie and not do the things that I shouldn't do that he's asking me to do when my ambition is over here and my desire is over here. It puts more of a burden on me than there should be. But when I say, I'm going to let go of all of that, Lord, if you want me to have a raise, if you want me to have another job, if you want me in the missionary field, whatever you want, I know I will get it by doing what you want, doing it your way. I know you'll give me what I need. That's letting go of the world. It doesn't have that pull on you. It's not keeping you from following Jesus. When you're able to let go of that, whatever it is, and start really following Christ, it opens everything up for you. And he said, he will take care of you. He'll provide what you need. He'll provide the things. But if you're going to constantly hold on to things, you're going to be on your own. You're going to find it very, very difficult following the Lord because you can't. You're going to have a big struggle on your hands. But there are some who don't like talking about the background stuff. But to me, it increases my faith. Because I could take anything like a movie and get some spiritual principle out of it. I've heard people do it. I've done it myself. One example was always the Star Wars movies. You know, the Force, and then the evil, and the Jedis, and you know, all this stuff, and the transition, and the struggle within, and all that. Man, it's like the Lord must have wrote that through him. Just for us visual people. No, he did not. It's dangerous to think that way. But we can draw spiritual principle from everything. If we try hard enough. But if it's not true, if the foundation isn't true, it's dangerous. Very dangerous. We come up with life principles that aren't even founded on the scriptures. Some movie that we thought seemed like the scriptures. So we need the Bible, and I need the Bible not just to be a bunch of verses that give me great counsel, wisdom. I need it to be true. And when I read it technically, and I discover about Judaism and who this was written to and how, when you read these letters, you go, man, somebody did not just write all this stuff together. There's too many details. There are too many details for somebody to think about. Over these thousands of years, we're still in awe of this book. How accurate it is. I know there are many who will say, well, it contradicts itself. They've been saying that for so many years, and we still aren't changing it, except updating the language every now and then, but none of the content, because we're like, where? Show me where. It doesn't. It's true. And the more excavating we do over in that land, the more we find is true. Well, we can't find this name. Oh, all of a sudden, there he is. I love it when they say that. It seems like we find another city or plaque or something. But if this Bible isn't true, Why believe it? Why embrace this over another faith? But let me encourage you. This Bible, you can invest your life in. You can trust that it is the Word of God and that there is only one God. And in the end, we will meet Him. And nothing we did outside of His desire for us will matter. That's why it's so important that we fix our eyes on Him and not on ourselves. If you hold on to yourself, you will be miserable. But if you deny yourself, live for Christ, you will find, as the scripture says, life and life abundantly.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in